It's time for you to resume your rant.
Yay!
What are we talking about next?
Category two. And this is, I'm calling this Abuelo's Zombify. This is the reanimator decks. Specifically the non-omniscience reanimator decks. The decks that are putting big dumb creatures into play and killing you that way. And I think they got a couple of really, really important new cards, and they're kind of cool. And I'm going to read them out to you like I did last time. You know, Rapid Fire and the wonderful Kira will probably put them on the screen because she's amazing. But let's start with the big dumb stuff. So first is Summon Bahamut. It is 9 colorless for an enchantment creature, Saga Dragon. It has the Saga Reminder text. Chapters 1 and 2 are destroy up to 1 target non-land permanent. Chapter 3 is draw 2 cards. Chapter 4 is Mega Flare, which is this creature deals damage equal to the total mana value of other permanents you control to each opponent. It has flying and is a 9/9.
That is big and dumb.
Big dumb. The second one is Summon Knights of Round. It is 6 white-white for an enchantment creature, Saga Knight. Chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4 are create 3 2/2 white knight creature tokens. And chapter 5 is Ultimate End. Other creatures you control get +2/+2 until end of turn. Put an indestructible counter on each of them. It has indestructible and is a 3/3. The next card is Arden the Usurper. It is 5 black for a legendary creature, Elder Human Noble. It has demons you control have menace, lifelink, and haste, and Star Scourge. At the beginning of combat on your turn, exile up to 1 target creature card from a graveyard. If you exiled a card this way, create a token that's a copy of that card, except that it's a 5/5 black demon and is a 4/4. Last but not least, we have Sin, Spira's Punishment, which is 4 black, green, blue. It is a legendary creature, Leviathan Avatar. It has flying. And it has, whenever Sin enters or attacks, exile a permanent card from your graveyard at random. Then create a tapped token that's a copy of that card. If the exiled card is a land card, repeat this process. And it is a 7/7. The other cards we have in this list is we have a new series of basic land cyclers. This is Malbro, which cycles for a swamp. Iceflan, which cycles for an island. Cloudbound Moogle, which cycles for a white. Hill Gygus that cycles for a red, and there is a green dinosaur, one that doesn't matter because none of these decks are playing green.
Oh my gosh, everything that you read, I was just like sinking farther and farther into my chair.
Yeah, we got a lot of new big stuff and a lot of new big stuff that's really good to reanimate.
Yeah, this is, this Summon Knights of Round, 1, 2, 3, 4, Chapter 12, 2/2 knight, white knight creature
12
tokens.
2/2 white knight creature tokens.
Oh, no.
Importantly, mm-hmm. with both Bahamut and the summon knights, they get the counter as soon as it enters, which means that you are getting the first chapter ability no matter what happens.
No matter what. Jeez.
So you're either destroying a non-land permanent or you're getting 3 2/2 white creature tokens. And in the context of Abuela's Awakening, it does not matter if it is a 1/1.
Because they're enchantments. Oh! Oh, no. Oh, I was only thinking of this in the context of Zombify.
I believe Abuelos puts creatures into play as well.
That outburst is going to be really embarrassing if it does. I thought it was...
You might be right, but I'm pretty sure it's enchantment or creature.
Artifact or non-aura enchantment card.
Interesting.
Yeah. I feel so vindicated. I was like, there's no way Abuelo says creatures, otherwise we would have seen way more reanimator wins. Holy moly. They're enchantments. Oh.
They sure are.
Jeez. And also, this is a great time to remind our beautiful listeners that Saga is not a creature type. It is an enchantment subtype. And you cannot choose Saga with things like choose a creature type, roaming throne. You can't name Saga. It is an enchantment type.
You cannot. As funny as that would be.
Oh, no.
Yep, this is pretty good.
Oh, no.
The elements of this that make it pretty good are, first, that we got some really interesting, like, big payoffs. Some, like, they are also enchantments that work with Abuela's Awakening, which is really important. But also, we now have a bunch of, like, reanimated creatures that sort of, explode in value exponentially.
Yep.
So the ones that I'm thinking of are Sin and Arden, because you reanimate them, and for Sin in particular, the moment you reanimate them, you get to create that token copy of a random permanent in your graveyard, which is probably why you're playing this in a deck with no non-land, non-reanimate target permanents, right? Your entire deck is going to be non-creature spells, lands, non-creature, non-permanent spells. So instants and sorceries, lands, and reanimate targets.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, every time you put a Sin into play, you're not only putting this big 7/7 into play, you're also putting this tapped other additional thing into play. Arden has kind of a similar effect. It is a little bit slower, and there is more blowout potential because you can blow it up before the beginning of combat, which is when this triggers, if you cast in the main phase, which is when this is going to happen most often. But creating 5/5 demon copies of creatures that you get to choose, and I believe it is from any graveyard.
Yeah, from a graveyard.
Is quite strong. Sin is going to be pretty good with Portal to Phyrexia for obvious reasons. So you said Abuelo's targets artifacts?
Target artifact or non-aura enchantment.
So, I think there is a real world where we have this reanimate package that is Abuelo's Awakening and Zombify, the big Bahamut effects, so the large sagas that have reasonable effects, Portal to Phyrexia. This deck strikes me as probably... Look, this reanimate deck is already relatively fringe compared to Omniscience. The benefit of Omniscience is as soon as you get an Omniscience into play, you win the game. this is not how this works. This would be like an overwhelming value package, and we have had very powerful value packages that you can reanimate with, obviously, Portal to Phyrexia and Atraxa. I think this is going to be a best of one menace.
Oh, yeah. Rakdos Reanimator is already a best of one menace because it is just really hard to beat, like, a turn four Valgavoth.
Pretty tricky.
I can't imagine how much harder it is to beat, like, a, turn four summon Knights of Round.
Seems pretty tricky.
Seems a little bit difficult. Boy, oh boy.
Boy, oh boy.
Oh, geez.
All right. Break from my rant for a little bit again. Kira, your next two cards. Hit me.
What are my next two cards? Oh, what a surprise. They're one mana spells.
I would never have guessed.
Oh, it's a French sounding name.
Luisoir.
Yeah.
I have no idea if that's correct. In fact, I'm quite confident that's incorrect.
No, I think it sounds correct. The next card on my list is Luisoir's Sacrifice.
No.
It is a one blue instant. As an additional cost to cast this spell, sacrifice a legendary creature or pay 2 additional generic mana. Counter target activated ability, triggered ability, or non-creature spell. Now, I recognize this is actually not a very good card, but the reason that I love this card so much is because it counters target triggered ability. I love a Tail's End effect. I love anything that counters a triggered ability because generally you can't do that. It's very difficult to interact with triggered abilities.
What triggered abilities are you countering?
I don't know. Full honesty, I don't know. You could counter the go-go ability.
You could. Or the ability that go-go is targeting, which causes the go-go ability to fizzle.
Yes. You could also target the cloud search.
Sure. You can target Deep Cavern Bats triggers.
You can target Deep Cavern Bats. I'm also thinking...
Can I target Shieldred trigger? That's pretty sick.
Well, I'm actually also thinking just of all of those summons that you just read off.
Yes, you can counter Saga triggered abilities.
Some of those would be pretty nice to counter, I'm
pretty
sure.
Or the Abuelo's Awakening.
Or the Abuelo's Trigger, which is a non-creature spell.
Here's my question.
Mm.
What are you sacrificing?
Skrelve Defector Mind.
Amazing.
I think you could play this in a very weird blue-white control because there is also a one-mana legendary Moogle creature. Moogle?
I don't know. Maybe. You don't reckon this goes in the old, four-color legend shells?
I think you could.
Relic of Legends is still a thing, right?
Right, Relic of Legends is still a thing.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Hey. That's pretty good.
Stiltskin Moogle. I'm so sorry, everyone. Stiltskin Moogle Merchant is a one mana legendary with lifelink.
That we're playing literally just to sacrifice him because his other ability is bad.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm prefacing this with saying that this card is bad.
It is a three mana card.
It is a three mana card. But I really like Tail's End effects.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm willing to like.
There will be a place for this, I'm sure.
I'm willing to stake myself on a on a triggered ability counter spell.
It's also notably it's blue and two colorless, not blue blue and a colorless.
Yeah.
So sorry, generic mana. So it is more splashable, which means it is more broadly playable. Should there be like a combo deck that relies pretty heavily on triggered abilities? This card is a, in my mind, it is a sideboard sometimes card. Yeah. It will depend on what the format shakes out to look like after Final Fantasy sort of gets its feet under it. But yeah, no, it'll be good.
You made fun of me for this next one.
I did. And I stand by it.
And frankly, you were right. And I'm mad. I'm so mad about it as well. The next card that I put on my list is Magic Damper. It is another one blue, instant. Target creature you control gets +1/+1 and gains hexproof until end of turn. Untap it. Maya, what is another exact word-for-word copy of this card that's in standard right now?
I'm not quite sure up.
Yeah. That was terrible.
Thank you. Thank you.
So Shore Up does the exact same thing. And in my head, I thought, oh, we're getting this effect because Dominaria United rotates towards the end of the year in August. And I was wrong because they just reprinted it in Bloomborough. So now you have eight unplayable hexproof untapped blue mana one mana spells. But again, I look at it as efficient protection. And look, to your credit, no, Is It Prowess is not playing this card because it's not good enough. For Is It Prowess?
Yeah, unfortunately, this card does suffer from the temporary lockdown, nowhere to run problem again.
Yes.
But, you know, I actually think the most important text on this card is untap that creature.
Shore Up is the reason I actually quite liked Shore Up for such a while was the untap, the ability to surprise untap a creature into. You know, you attack favorably with a creature, knowing that you have the ability to actually block with it and potentially tricking your opponent into thinking that you won't, you know, oh, I'm going to try and push just this damage through. And then, you know, tricking your opponent. Oh, you attacked with your Abhorrent Oculus. Interesting. I'm going to make an attack with this creature instead. And then you untap your Abhorrent Oculus and put a +1/+1 counter on it.
I think the place where this will exist, sorry, the place where this has the potential to exist is in combo decks that is looking to untap creatures that are either generating ability or generating mana. And being copies 5 through 8 for a deck like that is really, really important.
Well, and this is where I think the printing and the creation of Vivi or Nitya actually becomes quite important. Of course, Vivi suffers from its ability being only on your turn.
I genuinely think copies 5 through 8 are really important. We haven't really got a deck that is looking to make as much use of this card as, you know, as traditional, because the format is so fast and so disruptive. But like you said, it got reprinted in Bloomborough, which means that it isn't going to be hit by this Dominaria United rotation, which means that all of a sudden a lot of the efficient interactive pieces and a lot of the pieces from the deck that was hating on these sort of other decks, which is specifically Domain Overlords, is going to go away. Which means that the format may shift into a position where this card becomes really good. And it would not surprise me if you make me eat my words in a month's time because there's this up-and-coming Tier 2 Omni-style deck that is killing you on turn 3 by just untapping this 2-drop creature over and over and over again. I believe that that is something that could happen. And you know what? I will enjoy being wrong about that because I will be the one playing it.
Yeah. Look, I think, again, I looked very heavily at efficient spells. Mm. I looked very heavily at cheap instant speed interaction that provides some sort of benefit. And oftentimes, Hexproof, Indestructible, Untap, all of these things are wonderful bits of interaction. I foresee, especially this Magic Damper and the restoration magic, I see those also not only as good pieces of interaction that could potentially make their way into standard decks, I see them also as really good limited uncommons.
Yeah, they're good fun.
They're going to be very good. And look, I'll also be happy to be wrong. I think I'd love to see a standard format that is a little bit more mid-rangey. Fast games of Magic are good. They mean you can play more games of Magic. It also means the games of Magic are over a lot quicker.
And it's not like there isn't precedent for Shoreup seeing play in Standard. Shoreup did see play in the like Blue-Red Drake's decks in around like the Armenket Standard era. It is a card that can conceivably see play in Standard power level tempo decks. And in those shells, it is reasonably good. It is just that the interaction around it at the moment is unfortunately a little bit hostile to that type of effect. That doesn't mean that will always be true, and the fact that it has these sort of combo applications means that it is likely to see play at some point in some capacity.
Mayor rant time.
Yay!
You know, I'm noticing as I'm reading the text on this next one, I'm noticing it does something similar that you really like cards to do right now.
A little bit, little bit. So, all right, this last category I am calling the shoo-ins. These are the cards that are just like obviously good and very obviously going to go in decks, and it's going to be very, very easy. And the first one is Ambrosia Whiteheart. It is one and a white for a legendary creature, bird with flash. And when Ambrosia Whiteheart enters, you may return another permanent you control to its owner's hand. And it has landfall. Whenever a land you control enters, Ambrosia Whiteheart gets +1/+0 and until end of turn, and it's a 2/2. This bird doesn't have flying. Makes me sad.
Oh, but it doesn't. No, that's so funny.
It doesn't have flying, which makes it much worse than your Nurturing Pixies 1 through 8, which is, of course, Nurturing Pixie and Sunpearl Kiran. But this is probably Nurturing Pixies 9 through 10 or 9 through 11.
Yes. I was going to say, because it does also suffer from being a legendary creature, so you can't play multiple of them, which is really annoying.
Sure. You don't care.
But no, the deck does not care. The deck does not care about that. The deck cares about bouncing Momentum Breaker and Hopeless Nightmare and attacking your opponent on that angle.
Yeah, it is also an additional cheap aggressive creature, which there is a world where we just do away with the pretense of pretending Walls of Pixie is a control deck and just playing it as the aggro deck it is.
The aggro deck it's always wanted to be.
Exactly, exactly. This card is good. We also know that these style of decks do want to play up to 12 of these bounce creatures because you used to be playing, in Espa, you're playing Nurturing Pixie, Kiran, and Fear of Missing Out.
Fear of Isolation.
Fear of Isolation. Yes, Fear of Missing Out is the good one. Yeah, this card is just good. It will go in the Pixie decks. It will be good in the Pixie decks. Pixie decks will continue to be a menace. I will continue to be a menace on Pixie decks. Next.
I am so happy about this next card. The next card is Ultima. 3, white sorcery. Destroy all artifacts and creatures. End the turn. This is your Sunfall replacement. Sunfall is rotating this year. This is your Sunfall replacement.
It sure is. And it is a Sunfall replacement in a couple of really important ways. The first one is, this does kill the enduring creatures permanently. And that is because when the turn ends, the triggers never have the ability to go on the stack to bring them back. And as a result, they dead. They're gone forever. Dead for real, real old gonzies.
They are no longer enduring.
No longer enduring. It also hits artifacts. This is really important. One of the decks these control decks tend to struggle with quite a bit are these like blue, white, United Battlefront artifact decks, because they have so much redundant and recursive potential with things like Repurposing Bay and Simulacrum Synthesizer. Ultima laughs in the face of that.
This also is going to get around Cori Steelcutter.
Yes.
It's also going to get around Astrologian's Planisphere if that sees any play.
It is a very efficient way of dealing with a lot of creatures. It not exiling is important, though. It means there are going to be some number of games where, as the control deck, you're going to die to a Heartfire Hero. But, you know, that happens a lot anyway, and usually you're not getting five mana. You're not getting to five mana. Notably, this spell is not recurrable in the same way that Sunfall is. As part of the end the turn effect, it exiles itself. That's just kind of like a wrinkle of Magic rules. It will be exiled the moment it resolves, essentially. That being said, this card is reasonably good. It is a little bit expensive in the same way Sunfall was, but it cleans up better. And it, yeah, End the Turn is also kind of a unique effect in Standard at the moment.
Additionally, this deals with Cory Steelcutter in a way that Day of Judgment doesn't.
Yes.
Because this prevents the Cory Steelcutter player from being able to rebuild efficiently and effectively. All the Cory Steelcutter player has to do in order to rebuild is cast two spells, and they're back on the front foot pretty much. And the ability to not only destroy the Prowess Monk tokens that have been created, but to destroy the equipment that makes them is very important.
Yep, agreed. Moving right along.
It's Bob time!
Bob time!
It's Bob time!
Bob's back!
Bob is back, baby!
For those who are not aged and decrepit like Kira and I, Bob is Dark Confidant. It is one and a black for a creature, human wizard. It has, at the beginning of your upkeep, reveal the top card of your library and put that card into your hand. You lose life equal to its mana value, and it is a 2/1. Have you played with Bob before, Kira?
I actually have never played with Bob before.
This card is fucked up.
This card, this ability, this is the cheapest this ability exists at.
You have Bronco.
You have Bronco, this is true. All right, that's where my sentence ends, I guess.
Excellent, very good. Okay. This card is much, much better than Bronco. The reason this card is much, much better than Bronco is because its card advantage is not tied to combat.
Oh, right, sorry. That's where I was like, there's a reason Bronco is not as good as Bob, and my brain just could not clasp onto it, but it's because in order to get the Bob effect on the Bronco, you have to attack with it.
Which gives your opponent the opportunity to block.
To block.
This card is insane. And it's insane for a couple of reasons. First is it's a cheap, semi-aggressive creature. It's a 2-mana, 2/1. That's pretty cheap. A one-sided Howling Mind for 2 mana is really, really good. The second is that it is in a format where you are already incentivized to play cheap pieces of interaction. The existence of Dark Confidant makes cards like Cut Down a lot better, both because you want to cut down your opponent's Dark Confidant, but also because you want effective cards cheap because you don't want to take a bunch of damage from your life total. So this makes decks that top out at 3 really, really, really good. So the place where I can see this going, obviously, imagine that, is Ores of Pixie.
Whoa, what?
But specifically, a cheaper, more aggressive version that is on 4 Pixie, 3 Ambrosia, 4 Sunpearl Kirin, 4 Hopeless Nightmare, 4 Nowhere to Run, 1 Tiny Bones joins up, maybe some copies of Temporary Lockdown and 4 Bob. I think that will just exist. But also, this is going to slot really nicely into the blue-black mid-range decks. The blue-black mid-range decks that are on, Cut Down, Duress, Flood Pits, Drowner, and really lean in towards that more aggressive slant because you're rewarded for doing so. This card's really good. It will change the way decks are built. This card is so good that it's format warping in the sense that it will change the way that decks are built to maximize the card draw that you can gain off it in the long term. Yeah, cut. I don't know what to tell you. Card is messed up. It's real good. This card is real bad against aggro, though. Please sideboard them out.
I'm really excited to see a standard with Bob in it. I have not played a standard that has Bob in it. And the other effects of this kind, we don't see at this rate. We've got Phyrexian Arena, but that doesn't... You don't get the benefit of that until your next turn.
It's also still, not a creature.
It's also not a creature. You have Unholy Annex, but that's three mana.
3 mana enchantment.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying what this has is that benefit of being 2 mana.
Of being cheap, of being efficient, being on an aggressively costed creature. Just real good.
Look, and again, you've pointed out, we have mentioned a couple times this idea of a 1 or 2 mana, your opponent discards a removal spell, right? The ability to 1/1 your opponent because you threaten them with an advantage that they cannot let you have. And we, you said that with Vinwixt, and while we haven't seen Vinwixt being played very much, anytime, I'm on Arena and someone randomly is playing Vinwixt, I do try and kill it immediately because I cannot let them have that card advantage. And so it exists that there are these cards that are so good that you cannot let your opponent have them. Or if you do let them have them, even if you get a Dark Confidant trigger once, even when you get a Caustic Bronco trigger once, they put you in a better position. So I'm very excited to see what happens. I'm also excited to see where it goes. I'm excited to see, like, is this going to be a pixie shoo-in, or is it going to make the existing and not very well played anymore mono black decks come back with a vengeance? I'm very curious. I'm very scared. This set is awesome. This set has a lot of really, really cool pieces. I don't necessarily understand all the references. I don't understand Job Select. I don't, Diana. You know, all I know is Cloud and Sephiroth as Bando and Eat Hot Chip.
Okay, I do not understand Eat Hot Chip. I do recognize those names, though. The other place where this could go is if you are an enjoyer of the Melbourne RC, this could go in the black-red mid-range deck. It'll fit in pretty nicely. It's pretty good. Card's busted.
Card is really, really good. This set is really, really good. And it's in stores now. Final Fantasy is at your LGS now. We hope that wherever you are and whenever you are listening to this, that you get to enjoy it pre-release. You have gotten to enjoy it. And we hope that you'll join us again for more Final Fantasy Standard. I'm really excited, nervous, apprehensive, you know, furiously wood chipper biting my fingernails, seeing what's going to happen with this set. But it's out now, and we hope that you have a really wonderful weekend.
And with all that said, that's all we have time for today. We look forward to seeing you again next week. New episodes release on Mondays at 11 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. And until then, you can keep track of all of our releases at RaiseMTG on both Instagram and Blue Sky. You can find Kira on the same platforms at kirabobira.jpg on Instagram and kirabobira at Blue Sky, and myself at MayorMTG on both accounts. A big thank you to the State Library of Victoria for the ongoing use of their space. And until next week, remember, greatness. Any talk.